This is The Positive Mind, bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. And your hosts, Benjamin Starr and Julian Joyello, myself.
I like that. You've started using my full name.
I like it. I like your full name. I mean, your name is Ben Starr. You got two syllables.
Yeah, it's been my name since I was five, although I was born Benjamin. Yeah. I never changed it, but just people call me Ben.
And I was just kind of like, I was like, I got so many syllables in my name. I'm
only my closest family members and sometimes, you know, girlfriends would call me Benjamin. So I'm glad that you've entered into the circle of the closest people in my life calling me by my full name.
I'm kind
of
like your girlfriend on the radio here, right? And it's the first day of December today. And we want to talk today about holidays, but not in the traditional sense, right? Gratitude, family, cheer, these are all important things, right? But we want to talk more about what a holiday is and why we celebrate them. Because Thanksgiving just happened. It just happened on Thursday. And there are religious holidays, you know, pressures from your family, you get breaks from work. This is the time, this is the month, beginning December. But so much money is spent, and often anxiety kind of wreaks havoc amongst those more prone to it during this weirdly stressful time. You know, if you don't have enough money to pick up that bike that your son wants, it's stressful. If you can't make it to all the Thanksgiving, dinners you want to get to, it's stressful. If you, your ex-wife, et cetera, you know, you can't make it to this one, or you don't want to go to this one, and they get angry at you, and instead of it just sort of being a cheerful, happy get-together type of thing, it can happen where it becomes very, very stressful and anxiety-driven.
And for many people, Thanksgiving is the big one, right? It's the right. Holiday where a lot of relatives that we may not see the whole rest of the year, we see those right. people at that time.
Everything about Thanksgiving is big. I mean, the food is big. The families are often big. The dinners, the naps afterwards, everything is kind of big for Thanksgiving. It's a very American holiday.
It may be the most American holiday.
I think so. Maybe other than July 4th, I think.
But even, and I know that that's probably the one rebuttal to that, but sure. even July 4th isn't, it's not like a huge gathering. And if it is, it's mostly, I think, friends, maybe some coworkers. But Thanksgiving is that huge extended family holiday.
Absolutely.
That is... Every year, it's just the big gathering, the big family.
Right. And, you know, it doesn't have to be a big family gathering. It is often understood to be. But also, we want to talk about SAD, sad disorder. I mean, disorder is the D in that. But
right.
Seasonal affective disorder. Ben, we want to talk about it a little bit. I mean...
Yeah, well, I think, Julian, it completely ties into the holiday season that you mentioned. And for a lot of people, this holiday season... Not just this one, but the holidays in general are a rough time. It's a lonely time.
Right.
We have to deal with that. We have to grapple with that. And the fact that daylight savings time ends at the beginning of November, it sort of heralds the season that's about
right.
to come.
Right, so that all of a sudden the sun's going down at 4:45 and you're like, what? That's
yeah.
crazy, you know? Like, and oh, it's dark and you're not even going out for dinner yet.
Right.
And
for a lot of people, they have to wake up to go to work. They wake up before the sun even comes up.
Right. And
so they wake up and it's like the middle of the night. Your brain is still in night mode.
Right, and this sort of thing, the darkness really does do something to your mind, and that's what many psychologists have, they've dubbed this seasonal affective disorder, is when, you know, it's especially effective in Alaska and, Greenland and Iceland.
High places, latitudes.
Places where you get 5 hours of sunlight or less, and, there tends to be higher suicide rates in these places because there's just less sunlight. I mean, we were kind of powered by that sunlight. So when you get this darkness all the time, it tends to affect your mood.
There are places at extreme northern latitudes where they only get 3 to 5 hours of sunlight a day.
Right, exactly.
And yeah, it's like you said, Julian, seasonal affective disorder.
Sad. I was like, did they plan that?
Yeah.
Sad.
But you know something? In this country alone, there's over 10 million people that suffer from it in a very severe way.
Right, yeah.
And it affects their entire existence, their mood, how they feel physically, mentally.
Totally.
It
yeah.
can be very difficult, and it ties in to the holiday season that you mentioned. And I think it's it's a season with a lot of pressures, with a lot of expectation.
Totally.
That we receive. And culturally, it's sort of pushed on us as a very materialistic season.
Right. Well, so holidays sort of become these checkpoints, right, that Americans look so far ahead to. So, so when you go to CVS Pharmacy and it's like October 25th and you're there for Halloween, you're buying some candy, you look in the side and and there's Christmas ornaments that are being, they're on sale already. I mean, they're like discount priced.
Yeah.
And you're like, what? And you know, the second Christmas ends, Easter bunnies start popping up everywhere. And I mean, I just saw a Christmas movie, came out a month and a half before Christmas.
Wow.
And it's just like, well, what are they doing? They're trying to kind of get us to be in the Christmas mood and capitalize on the Christmas mood.
Well, yeah, every holiday is, you know, an opportunity for corporations to make a lot of money.
Right.
And that's why I think we start seeing the pumpkins in September, right?
Right.
The turkeys.
The pumpkins don't go away in September. They stay until like April, and they're like, oh God, I hate pie. I can't ever eat it again. And then September comes around and boom, pumpkin spice lattes.
Yeah. And then October, we start seeing the turkey and Thanksgiving decorations. And then by November, we're already hearing Christmas music and
exactly
seeing Christmas movies come out and sales. And then Thanksgiving, the day after Thanksgiving, we have
Black Friday,
and then you've got shopping day,
and then Cyber Monday, which came about with the internet. I mean, it's like Cyber Monday, we need another day just in case you didn't buy all your things on Black Friday. We got Cyber Monday, and I'm still seeing it's Tuesday, and we've still got a lot of this online shopping. Oh, come one last, you know, Cyber Tuesday. We got Cyber Tuesday coming on just in case you didn't get all your deals. And it's just like, why would Black Friday and Cyber Monday and Cyber Tuesday, that's 3 days, and we had Thanksgiving, which is one day.
And if you weren't convinced of the, you know, the stress and the pressures of the holiday season and the shopping that comes along with it,
right,
just look every single year without fail on Black Friday, there's some kind of chaotic event at a store somewhere where people are just running all over each other, fighting each other.
There was a woman who was trampled, who was pregnant at Walmart, I think a year or two ago during Black Friday, because somebody wanted to get a $200 HD TV, and it's just like, has nobody realized that yet? Has nobody seen that as a sign that maybe this is something
bad? Right here on Long Island.
It becomes like primal, you know? It's like an animalistic thing where we just become these consumers. And
I need my stuff.
Right, it's like some of the people just waiting online, they're like zombies, and they're like, I need this Xbox One.
But yeah, a few years back, 5 or 6 years ago, Julian, there was at a mall on Long Island, not far from the city, just outside the city, there were like a handful of people that were killed.
Wow.
In a stampede as soon as they opened up a store.
You would think you stampede, you think like rhinos or like zebras or like something,
it's incredible,
you know,
right?
Something like safari-esque, and then you think, wait, this is just people. These are just people trying to save $50.
An estimate that over 100 million Americans went to retail stores on Friday.
Well, yeah, so I mean, a couple of statistics before we really get into what we're talking about today. $630 billion spent this winter holiday, which is $200 billion more than 10 years ago. So it's been going up increasingly at a steady rate. It was $400 billion in 2005. And now it's $630 billion.
That's a mind-boggling amount of money.
42% of Americans start holiday shopping in November, so they're getting ahead of it. And then $800 per person spent on winter holidays, so it's a lot of money.
And on top of that, there's the travel, right?
Yeah,
this is the big travel season of the year.
Break. Right.
People travel to be with their relatives for Thanksgiving, for Christmas, for New Year's. There's an estimated 100 million Americans that are going to be traveling this year from, you know, starting last week, going into Thanksgiving, up until New Year's. So think about that. 100 million Americans, that's one in three people in this country that'll be traveling on the move in some way.
Well, one good thing to mention is Tuesday, officially, we've got Giving Tuesday, especially here at WBAI. So if you're kind of tired of buying things and hearing about discounts, you can donate to WBAI, or you can donate to a charitable organization that, you know, really kind of encapsulate that Thanksgiving spirit for Giving Tuesday. So I don't know if we don't want to talk only about this consumerism stuff, but we actually want to move on. So
yeah,
let's
talk about the family aspect of the holidays.
Yeah, I want to ask, you know, and holidays themselves, do you like holidays? And how was your Thanksgiving, like, honestly, right? Armand made it an important point to answer fully and truthfully when someone asked him, how are you, in passing, or how was your Thanksgiving? And maybe you can join us in being honest. And we want to take your phone calls a little bit later. But did you find a small group of friends to have dinner with, or maybe just one other important person? Or did you find yourself in that gigantic, chaotic insanity? I know I have my roommate said he came back and he said, there was this 40-person dance party we had.
Wow.
And it was just like I was just playing disco music, and it was my grandparents and my 7-year-old brother, and everybody was dancing for 3 hours, and then they all just passed out. And I said, that sounds great.
The tryptophan.
Right, yeah, that's quite an experience. And I was like, that wasn't my Thanksgiving. It was more of a, you know, for me, I found myself always in these sort of smaller groups of important, kind of intimate people. I mean, last year I was with Armand, and it was just my father, my sister, Armand, one or two people that are close to him. And there's something really valuable in that, too.
I know, especially here in New York, where a lot of people have roots elsewhere and who have moved here. Sometimes people won't go home for Thanksgiving, and they'll stay here and
they have Friendsgiving,
right?
Yeah,
exactly.
I mean, this year it was myself, it was my sister's Japanese friends, and my dad's Chinese friend, and our other, you know, it was like we had 5 different languages being spoken at the table. It was kind of like the UN.
Wow.
Been telling people.
Yeah, we had a handful of languages too, but yeah, my family is.
That's how it ends up being in New York a little more, and I really like that because it's you don't have that same kind of pressure to force yourself to be close to people that sometimes you aren't as close to. And instead, you're just like, I want to, you know, be with the people I do actually love and I do care about.
At my table this year, we had people who speak English, Spanish, Italian, and French.
Yeah, we had.
And my sister's about to start learning Portuguese.
Wow. Yes, so you got all the romance languages.
Yeah.
We had Japanese, Chinese, Spanish, English, and French, too. So we were just like, this is our melting pot, you know? This is our melting pot.
I hope whatever was in your actual melting pot was delicious, was it?
Yes. Well, yeah, I'm vegetarian, so we ended up having a lot of pasta, a lot of salads, a lot of eggplant.
And you know what? That can be one of the conflicts of a big family gathering, Thanksgiving.
Well, we used to go to big Thanksgivings, and it was kind of like, what are they going to eat? You know, are you going to have some lasagna or something? And it's like, yeah, I mean, I'm cool with that. It's fine.
Right. Well, a lot of people are vegetarian, and, you know, they show up to a dinner where the centerpiece of the meal is a dead animal, and that, you know, kind of clashes with their lifestyle choice and dietary choice.
But so I want to ask you guys, do you celebrate Thanksgiving and Christmas because you want to, or is it because you're required to? You know, if you don't go, will mom never invite you to a family event again? Or what would happen if you spent a holiday alone? I mean,
whoa,
is that an insane idea, right? I mean, imagine Thanksgiving just at home. You just have like a, you know, you go onto your terrace and you have a cup of coffee in the morning. You're not wrapping any presents for Christmas or buying anything. You're just sort of there with yourself.
Well, full disclosure, I have to say Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday.
Sure.
I don't know how other people feel about it. I'd love to hear from our listeners when we open up the phone lines. But it's a very good question, Julian. Are holidays something that we do out of habit? Is it something that we do because it's what we've always done and what's always come before us? Or is it something that
you do because you want to
do it? Yeah, and we'll get different answers from everybody. But it's a tradition, but is it a compulsion? And that's a good point you make.
Yeah, I think, and then it's capitalized on by corporations. It becomes this habit, this anxiety, this stress. And for some people, they have great, insane disco parties, like my friend Chris. Or
I'd love to see your friends' grandparents dancing, doing disco dance.
I know. I mean, I was like, dude, do you have any videos of that? Can I see that? Is that a thing I can see now? Come on, utilize your cell phone. But really, it's, you know, what do these holidays, what role do they play in your life? We want to hear from you. And we'll be taking calls at 212-757-5555 today. 212-757-5555. That's our call-in number. And we just want to hear from you and see what kind of roles holidays play in your lives.
Yeah, is it stressful or is it a relief?
Yeah, you know, there's stress that comes with it. Personally, I find that as my holidays kind of become more intimate and I kind of, we choose the people we want to be with and just we want to be there, it ends up alleviating a lot of this pressure and this anxiety. But I mean, for some people, there's a lot of anxiety about being alone too. I mean, you don't want to be alone for holidays. It's you hear everybody else, and you've got FOMO. Fear of missing out.
FOMO.
FOMO is a big one. If you guys don't know what FOMO is, it's an acronym. It's very popular on Twitter as a hashtag. It's popular among people of my generation.
Yeah, it's a sense of dread that you're missing out on something
right.
big.
Right. It's like, oh God, you know, if I'm alone on Thanksgiving, what if I miss out on some drama that happens on Thanksgiving, or I miss out on something
that
so
would be
amazing experience. FOMOD.
Fear of missing out on drama. Or FOMOT. Fear of missing out on turkey.
Yeah, but we want to hear your opinions, your feelings about holidays and the role they kind of play at 212-757-5555. So, it's interesting, right? Like, would you ever spend a Thanksgiving alone? That would be insane, right?
Me personally, I probably wouldn't. But I appreciate and enjoy the sort of the reunion that happens. However, I understand where the pressure and the stress can come from for a
right.
lot of people. I mean, when you think about just the questions that we could face at a Thanksgiving dinner
right.
with a big family,
yeah.
it really can be some uncomfortable questions, right? Think about it. If you just had a bad breakup, or you're unemployed and you're desperately looking for work, the last thing you want to hear from a distant relative, a distant cousin or aunt that you don't see very often is, hey, so are you still single? Or, hey, Julian, how's the job hunt coming along? And meanwhile, you know, it's something that's kind of consuming you and that you're really struggling with. So there's, you know, there's the uncomfortable questions. There's the pressure. I mean, if you're hosting Thanksgiving, especially if you're hosting Thanksgiving for, you know, a medium to large group, I mean, think of the pressure that comes with preparing everything, making sure everyone has a place to sit, making sure everyone's dietary needs are met, right? Like if you have the vegetarian in the
right,
family.
Right. You know, you want to make sure that you don't sit the ex-girlfriend next to the relationship that was there before you, what happens
right.
then,
you know? Or maybe a divorced couple both wants to be there for the kids and,
right.
and the struggles that come with that, and maybe there's a new boyfriend or a new girlfriend in the picture, or the age old, hey, we have people on two different sides of the political or social fence who disagree, and then there's the
right.
big blowout arguments.
Right. We don't, then that happens all the time. And the food kind of solves everything. I feel like that
brings us together.
When you start eating, people stop talking about Republican, Democrat, and they sort of say, oh, this food is pretty tasty.
Yeah, especially if the food is good.
Yeah.
You can tell how good the food is by how quiet the table
yeah,
is.
Yeah, and you can imagine. I bet if the food was bad, it would really ruin everything, you know? If everybody's like, oh, I don't want to eat this food. And why aren't you eating the food? Oh, you don't like it? I worked 4 hours and I slept.
Right.
Over.
You don't like my food? That must mean you don't like me.
Yeah, so I think the main rule here is Thanksgiving. Make sure you make good food. Make some interesting good food that everybody can kind of share. Anyways, we got John on the line. John, how you doing?
Great. How about yourself?
We're doing great. What's your feelings about the holidays? How was your Thanksgiving, honestly?
It was fine. It's always high anxiety and a little frustrating. Because
you said it
I'm
was
back.
High anxiety or it wasn't?
No, it was full of anxiety.
Uh-huh.
I'm married, so my wife it comes from a divorced family.
Mm-hmm.
So we do three holidays in one day all the time. It's
wow.
It's always three Thanksgivings, you know? It's my family, her mother's family, and then her father's family.
Wow. Wow, that's a lot. What was that like spending kind of running from Thanksgiving to Thanksgiving? You must be very full. You probably still haven't eaten food since Thursday.
Yep, that's correct. Yeah. So what I learned to during the feast, right? So one place they make the turkey better than they do the mashed potatoes at others. So that when I go to the one family that makes the mashed potatoes, I make sure to fill up on the potatoes there.
Put them in your pocket.
Dessert at the other spot.
Yeah. So you got the plan. You say, okay, turkey's good here. I'll save room for these mashed potatoes because they're stellar. And then when you make it to the last place, you say, okay, well, I'll just have one of the sides because I'm full.
John, I have a question for you.
Sure.
Could you picture next year Thanksgiving with all three of those groups of families together, or would it just be havoc?
Is that too insane?
I think that would be too insane. As sad as that is, you know?
Yeah. Well, what about just having a Thanksgiving on your own? Again, this is like, I know this is a crazy thing to say, and I don't know if I would do it myself, but what would that be like? Would you be less anxious, do you think? Or would it be even more stressed because you're just thinking about all this stuff happening that you should be at?
I honestly think it would be probably a lot more anxious because of the, the tradition. It's kind of hard to break it.
Yeah. I think Thanksgiving is one of those main traditions too. It's really not like, it's not like the other stuff.
Right. But in other news in the world and in life, in my particular, we're having a baby, my wife and I.
Oh, wow. Congrats.
Yeah. Congratulations. Wow.
Thank you. So I explained to her that coming after this year, when our baby comes, it's going to be we're going to start our tradition and have our family Thanksgiving and Christmas, and whoever wishes to be part of it can come. So maybe the child coming into the world will be the
unifier.
Yeah, that's kind of beautiful. I love that, John. It's sort of like this way to begin this reign of doing what you want to do for Thanksgiving, or doing with this baby. What matters to you and the baby and the family?
When's the baby expected?
Christmas Day.
Wow.
Wow.
That's tremendous. Well, listen, John, maybe this child will be the thing that brings those three groups together, and maybe next year at your house, it will be that triple Thanksgiving rolled into one.
Yeah, I'm hoping that your next Thanksgiving becomes a thing you want to do, not a thing you need to do.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm working on that.
Yeah, I'm excited for you, John. Congratulations, and thanks for calling.
No problem. Thank you. You guys are the best.
Take care, man.
Thanks. 212-757-5555 is our number to call.
Yep, 212-757-5555. Tell us if you have a
a really wacky Thanksgiving
right,
story.
Right, yeah, maybe you're that guy who just says you've got you have Thanksgiving with you're 30 and you have Thanksgiving with like only senior citizens or something like that, and see what that's like. You know,
sure.
What is that? I mean, I bet that would be very calm and relaxing, and there'd be really good food. Because I know the food there would just be, there would be so many, people who've just been cooking for their whole lives to say, okay, this is my favorite meal. I've spent 60 years working on this mashed potato recipe, and it is the best.
I love mashed potatoes. Hey, have you, any of you out there had a Thanksgiving conflict at the table that just spun out of control? Maybe it ended in a food fight, stuffing and mashed potatoes flying across the room.
I kind of wish that would happen. That would be fun to get like a little mashed potato launcher and just have some fun. Don't care about it. Just go for it and just clean up later.
What about your Thanksgiving, Julian? How was that? You said it was small this year, right?
Yeah, mine was small. I mean, it was 10 people, and it was from people from all over the world. You know, my sister's boyfriend and just friends, and it was great.
Mine was mostly extended family as well as my immediate family, and it was really nice this year. It was very warm, and the food was amazing.
Yeah,
and
I
the
think
dessert
we should,
was amazing.
I think we should all try to have. If you're in that big family of people, I think throwing on some disco music would really, really bring everybody together. I like that idea.
Yeah.
I like crossing generations and sort of saying everybody can dance to this and making sure that you can kind of bring everybody together in that way, which I like a lot. But 212-757-5555, we just had a call and then we lost it. I don't know. But we're talking about your the role that holidays play in your life, and we want to hear from people that maybe have a holiday that doesn't sort of live up to the typical kind of Thanksgiving or Christmas, and how that is for you.
Yeah, well, there is this stereotype, right, of this traditional kind of perfect American family, and the reality is that most families aren't like that. Most families, you know, have experienced things like divorces and loss in the family and people who are struggling, and you know, not everyone's family is a Norman Rockwell painting,
right?
Frankly, so a lot of us, when we do get into these big gatherings, it's like this very acute reminder of the difficulties within the family, and that can contribute to some of the stress or the arguments that can occur. But once again, please give us a call. We had a call that sort of petered out on us. We went to pick it up, and no one was there. So 212-757-5555. want to hear about what your holidays were like and what how you expect the December holidays to go
and
for
I think,
you.
I think coming next Thanksgiving, if you're, you know, you're, oh, wait, I want to get this call. One
All second. Right. Yeah, go pick up the phone. Yeah, so we are talking about Thanksgiving and the holiday season, seasonal affective disorder, if you want to weigh in on that. Seasonal affective disorder affects over 10 million Americans, and it's a struggle that comes with the reduced daylight, the shorter, colder days, and it can affect us very much, both psychologically and physiologically. And personally, I've struggled with it at times. I know that it really only starts to affect people once they hit their 20s. And I know for me that when I hit my 20s, I started feeling...
I wonder why that happens.
You know, I'm not sure.
Is it because you start making your own schedule maybe in your 20s?
Could be.
And you start saying, okay, I'm going to wake up at this time, go to sleep at this time, and it ends up being later and later and darker.
Yeah, maybe. Also, I think life is, I don't know, maybe it could be a change of the structure of life, you know? As children, the structure is much more clear-cut and defined
Absolutely.
As far as school.
Yeah.
And
it's a little simpler, even though it's, it can be more stressful because it's your only world. But anyways, okay, we got Nana on the line. Nana, you there?
Yeah, hi. How are you guys doing?
How are you doing? Well, we're so glad you called in. So what kind of holiday did you have this last
week?
Well,
I've been practicing because my mom, my grandma, was a Native Indian, Cherokee Blackfoot, and from South Carolina.
Wow.
And because of the first Thanksgiving, to my understanding and through my research, it was a slaughterhouse.
It was.
It was a slaughterhouse festive occasion for the immigrants who came there, okay, and they took in the first football game, which where they took the head of the indigenous Indians and they cut it off from the body and they played football with it. So that's the first football. So what I do on the Thanksgiving Day, I fast. I don't eat and I don't talk for the remembrance of the indigenous people who did not own the land. They were just the caretakers of the land. They didn't believe that anyone could own the land, that the Father Sky and Mother Earth were the owners. And
so
they
you,
were just the gatekeepers
you
of
definitely,
it. So that's what I do for Thanksgiving.
You definitely had a different kind of Thanksgiving than most people, and I really appreciate that. That's a very interesting way to go about it, to fast, and I might try that next year because I know it did begin from a very... a very violent place, but I think that now it's sort of become this separate thing. I mean, I know people don't sit there who are eating saying, oh, we're eating on top of the corpses of these people, and instead it's become more of like, okay, well, what are we thankful for? I mean, I know actually at my family dinners, we do say thank you to the Native Americans for you know, all the plight that they went through for us to be on this land in America. And because my father has a lot of experience, close friends that are Native American, a lot of spirituality. But I really appreciate that you do that, and I think that's a very powerful thing to do.
Thank you.
Yeah, and thank you for sharing with us. We actually have to go on our break right now, but thank you for calling in, Nana.
Take care.
Yeah, always good to hear from you. Thanks again.
Yeah, so you know, that's a very, very different way to go about Thanksgiving. Basically the opposite. You know, no consumerism, no consumption, literally, no consumption, fasting, and you must feel a little bit like an alien when you're fasting. You're watching everybody else eat.
Yeah,
you know, we're getting a phone call. I'm gonna
We're gonna go toward play a little music
for
you,
and we'll be
continuing to take your calls in the second half hour of the program. The number to call, 212-757-5555.
Yeah,
if you can't get through, just keep calling.
Yeah,
and we'll get to your calls for sure. But time's 1:30. We're going to play a little music for you, and we'll be back after this.
And we're bringing you a little bit of Ink Spots. Here we go.
If I didn't care more than words can say, if I didn't care, would I feel this way? If this isn't love, then why do I thrill? And what makes my head go round and round while my heart stands still? if I didn't care, would it be the same? Would my every prayer begin and end with just your name? And would I be sure that this is love beyond compare? Would all this be true if I didn't care for you?
If I didn't care, honey child, more than words can say. If I didn't care, would I feel this way? Darling, if this isn't love, then why do I thrill so much? And what is it that makes my head go round and round while my heart just stand still so much?
If I didn't care, would it be the same? Would my every prayer begin and end with just your name? And would I be sure that this is love beyond compare? Hey, would all this be true if I didn't care for you?
And that was If I Didn't Care by the Ink Spots. I like bringing that oldie one in there because...
Yeah, it's a good one. And believe it or not, man, it's still one of the top-selling singles of all time.
Yeah, I love that song because it's sort of like there's this tension that comes about in Thanksgiving, right? And if you don't make it to the dinner, if you leave early, or if you don't bring the gift that they wanted, or if you don't say I love you to the right person, they're sort of like, you don't care about me. You didn't show it to me. You don't care about me. When I think a lot of the time people sit there and say, what are you talking about? I love you so much, or I thought that was apparent. And this is kind of like a little satire on that. If I didn't care, why would I
show up in the first place?
Right, exactly. We've got Fran on the line. Fran, how you doing?
Hi.
Howdy.
Hello. I had Thanksgiving at the apartment with my stepson and my husband.
Nice, just you three?
I'm sorry, yes.
Fantastic.
And we cooked, and I made homemade cranberry sauce and, all kinds of Brussels sprouts and all kinds of other stuff, good stuff. And I was, I'm not a holiday person. Mm-hmm. I just do not like them.
Why don't you like them?
Okay. I'm not 100% sure exactly why, but over the years, I kind of feel like every day, you should, do the best you can every day and be grateful and help others and be a nice person. And could be a very isolating holiday and make people feel pretty poor and maybe just, childhood issues of... dysfunctional family background and things like that.
Right,
so
they sort of start magnifying as it goes on, and the habit and the repetition of the same kind of thing every year sort of brings it out again.
So, Fran, what would your ideal holiday be if you could design it and have it go perfectly to plan? I mean, how would you see that, your perfect holiday?
Yeah, I guess peace in the world. That would probably be the biggest thing.
One day without violence.
Yeah, like one day continuing to, eternity, right?
Sure,
without
sure.
any kind of, violence or anything.
But hey, a day would be a nice start, right?
Right, so with one day at a time. But I, also acknowledge, it's very sad because just two things, just more. One thing is, Armand passing away this year.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a very, you know, old-time listener and a big fan of his. And, you know, Wayne Dyer and people who meant a lot to me, and Simon Lokley died of NBAI also, I heard. And that was sad, but that happened the other day. But also, I also watched something, I don't know, the Carbonaro effect. I don't know if you've ever heard of
it. Oh, yeah, I've seen it, yeah.
Yeah, and I watched that all day, and that was, like, really funny and made me laugh.
It is funny. It is.
Yeah, so, I mean, and yet again, I feel bad for the people. I'm like, you know, because they, some of the people, he startles so that, you know.
Yeah, he's actually a local guy. He's from Suffolk County, I think.
Yeah, yeah, he's from Long Island, I heard. But I watched him, and Arlo Guthrie had Alice's Restaurant.
Of course.
So, you know, you have a combo of all this stuff, but it was a lot of good cooking, and I almost could be a vegetarian with how I cooked.
Yeah, well, so what's it like to cook for? I mean, this was my first year cooking for Thanksgiving, and it was a very different experience than just kind of being there as a consumer. I feel like when you're working and you kind of, I spent like 3 or 4 hours cooking and preparing everything, keeping everything warm and making sure that everybody at the table would like the food. That was very satisfying for me, and it's not a thing I normally do. Does it satisfy you in that same kind of way?
Yes. My stepson, he loved the sweet potatoes I made, because I did add some brown sugar to it. I a little butter, and
so I made it a little
different like that, and a little vanilla to give it the marshmallow like the flavor.
Sure.
And he just was raving about it, so it made me really happy. And the cranberry sauce, adding a little pineapple, orange, and what else? Sugar and something else, you know, from scratch.
Totally.
Working with food, you know, especially vegetables and all that, just have a good feeling to an energy. But thank you for letting me share.
Yeah, Fran, it's always so nice to hear from you.
Oh.
Yeah, those sweet potatoes sound great.
Yeah, love you both so much, and, you know, hope and pray you continue everything, you know, one day at a time.
Thanks,
right?
Fran.
Thank you
all
so
right,
much.
Bye. Thank you. Bye.
Take care.
Yeah, it's true, though. When it comes to family, I think food is love in a lot of ways. Food represents
Right, so
love.
There is something beautiful. I mean, you know, I think, again, like Nana said, I mean, sure, it's sort of started in this horrible, violent kind of place, but it's transformed a lot. And I think, you know, it is not a violent thing. It's kind of about this very hands-on, people in your family work and care and work very hard to make sure that the food that you have is the best that they can do, and they want to share that with everybody, and they bring in their family recipes and their special taste just for you.
Sure.
And there's something beautiful about really working. If you haven't cooked for Thanksgiving, maybe try that next year, because for me, it really satisfied that kind of want to be more present in the holiday.
Of course, and it's, you know, it's important to be conscious of our history and aware of our history. And at the same token, Thanksgiving is a harvest festival, which is something that happens all over the world in many cultures, from Asia to Africa to South America to Europe and the Caribbean. Harvest festivals have been going on for a long time, but it is important to be cognizant of what's happened in our past and history.
Absolutely. And we've got a phone call here. Adam?
Hi, good afternoon.
Hi, Adam. How's it going?
Come see, come sa. I wanted to respond to the woman with a Native American background who called in earlier. A quick jump over to Wikipedia suggests that Thanksgiving as a holiday has a very long history of development. It and was not originally, as you were suggesting a moment ago, this harvest festival. It was a kind of religiously based giving of thanks. First apparently initiated by George Washington in 1793, repeated by Lincoln during the Civil War, and was fixed as sort of the holiday, at least the time of the holiday that we know, in October of 41 by a joint resolution of Congress.
Sure. So
all of these suggest a very sort of spiritual roots in periods of national turmoil and stress.
Sure. So it kind of became
after the Revolutionary War,
eye of the storm during these times.
During the Civil War, in a very in a period that was about to go very dark in the 1940s. The entire development of the relationship to some kind of contact between the Puritans in their first, at the end of their first year on the North American continent, I think has developed since the 40s.
Sure, Adam.
Thank you.
We want to actually focus a little bit more on, I mean, thank you for the history, and I really appreciate that.
It's important to say this on BAI because there's an alternate narrative that's presented regularly.
No, and thank you for sharing that. I appreciate that, Adam. I just want to hear from you really quick. What would your holiday look like if it went exactly the way you wanted it? I mean, you're saying that it came from religious root. It kind of was in between turmoil and became this sort of peaceful, religious, spiritual kind of day. Is that the kind of thing you want, or what would you do if it went the way you wanted it? And maybe it did go the way you wanted it on Thursday.
Well, I have very few friends and family left, and I spend Thanksgiving by myself. Rereading this history, I think that I will try to create a Thanksgiving next year that honors that impulse.
No, I like that a lot. Where would you go, you think?
Where would I go?
Yeah.
Well, it would be nice to
are you religious
to,
at
indeed
all?
Somehow make it a community festival.
Absolutely.
And not necessarily just focused on family. And it would be nice to try to keep it local rather than the kind of interior migration that happens. Right?
Yeah. Maybe find a Thanksgiving in the neighborhood.
Flying across the country to see folks that they perhaps don't necessarily like anyway.
It's a great point, Adam.
I like that a lot. Thank you so much for sharing, Adam, today, and I appreciate you checking out for us the history and explaining that to us. I do like knowing more about this, and I appreciate that.
All right.
Thank you so much,
Adam.
Be well.
No,
be well.
Take care.
Oh,
whoa.
What a jinx. You owe me a Thanksgiving turkey?
No, a nickel.
I don't want any of that. A nickel?
Yeah, I'll give you a nickel.
That sounds like a bad deal for me. I don't know. I feel like I should get more than a nickel.
212-757-5555.
212-757-5555. So Thanksgiving for Adam is alone sometimes. And, you know, it sounds like that's partly a choice, too. But an interesting idea to not even, you know, maybe...
Community Thanksgiving.
Yeah, just do it with your neighborhood. I mean, in East Village, my block is insanely communal. It's very... Everybody kind of knows each other, and the stores, they know each other. You go in, hang out there, and it's really cool. I feel like that would be a good idea.
One big Friendsgiving. We're going to take another call. The number to call today is 212-757-5555. I want to hear about a holiday in your perfect world, how you would celebrate it, how it would go, and maybe how your holiday was this past week. And, you know, if you have any great stories, intense stories.
Yeah. I mean, we liked hearing from everybody today. John, Nana, Fran, Adam, thank you so much for calling in today. And we've got David on the line. David.
Yeah, hi.
Hey, David.
This subject is turning out to be more interesting than I would have thought, but in my case, after years of having relatives feed me, I got sort of a little bit left out in the cold this year because the erstwhile hosts, were doing something out of the area. And I wound up taking a niece and nephew who are trying to make it in Big Bad Gotham out to eat in Manhattan.
Okay.
And we had a fabulous time, but one thing that I noticed... was I met them in an Irish pub on, like, 7th Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
And the place was packed with people eating, you know, hamburgers and watching the game. And it was just like, wow. So
right, this is the world outside of your home on Thanksgiving. Yeah. And it's actually I think it becomes more popular now to just sort of do what you want to do.
Well, that's what they were doing. And it was like, so, okay, so that's no big deal.
And
maybe it's the nihilist in me was... was
it's a big I think it's a big deal for a lot of people. I mean, it just depends the kind of background you come from. I mean, again, doing it alone would be, you know, I would probably, if I was alone, I probably wouldn't stay home. I'd probably end up heading out to an interesting restaurant or a local kind of bar and see what it's like there, because all the kinds of people that kind of show up on Thanksgiving outside of their homes are probably very interesting people.
And of course, here in the city, you have so many people that have moved here from somewhere else, and you know, they may not necessarily make the long trip back home. So
they might not even be celebrating Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
at all.
You walk into an Irish pub on 7th Avenue, and the place is packed.
It's Friday night. It was great. So I just thought.
I'm glad to hear that you had an interesting time, and with your niece and nephew, that sounds like fun. And
it was very nice. And, you know, we made a gold out of lead there with that one.
How are they doing in Gotham? Big bad Gotham.
Hard to tell. It's not something I would have wanted to go through. I had a technical skill set, so I sort of breezed through school and got a good gig. Plus, times were different. You know, maybe we could be thankful for a return to those times that we can get it.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, David, do you think next year you'll be doing something similar, or are you going to try to get back to the family group?
No, I mean, if somebody's going to feed me, I'm there. I'm like,
you're like, that's food in my mouth.
That's right.
Awesome.
Thanks for sharing, David. And I like hearing about that other different kind of experience.
All
appreciate
right, good,
that, David. All
right. You guys do a nice job.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, take care.
All right. Just trying to get a couple more calls in, Julian.
What do you think? Yeah, I mean, I'm liking hearing all of these different kinds of
very different perspectives.
Stories, different perspectives. Maybe you were at the same pub as David.
Yeah, right on 7th Avenue. I know what I would have ordered. And whenever I go to an Irish pub, I like to get the shepherd's pie. For some reason, it's just really hits the spot for me. And maybe partly because my grandma used to make it really, really well. So it kind of connects me right back to that little six-year-old self eating shepherd's pie. Let's take another call, 212-757-5555.
And we've got Rashida on the line. Rashida?
Peace and blessings, Julian and Ben. Wow, how you doing?
I'm doing very well, and I'm so happy that you are calling right now. We've had quite a few good callers today, and just hearing about everybody's holidays is great, because you kind of only know your own experience with these holidays, and there's the media kind of, you know, the movies you see about it and the pictures you see, and everything's so perfect, and maybe it is perfect for you, but what were the holidays like?
Okay, first let me say I'm so grateful for you and Ben determined to carry on Amon's beautiful work.
Oh, thank you.
That means a lot.
That means so much to all of us.
That means a lot to us.
And every day is a holiday. I celebrate every day. Life is a beautiful ride. I, like the other sisters, have fasted for something like 30 years in honor of the Native people. Mm-hmm. And there's all kind of versions of the history, but we do know that there was a lot of genocide, a lot of abuse, a lot of just absolute cruelty, and that's honor. I used to do it in the sense of it's a day of mourning when I first started 30, 40 years ago doing this. I'm 66 now. I've been doing it since my early mid-20s.
Well, it's a more active way.
But now I do it as a day of celebration in honoring and being grateful for the Native indigenous people of this land. I'm African-American.
Yeah.
And of course, we have indigenous people and our families and all nine. And I do it in celebration of how they honored and feared the land, and that all of the Gilmore did a show one time that there were 20 million indigenous people when Europeans first got here, and when he did that show in the 80s, he said it was like 2 million left. So it's something to be looked at, but I don't do it in a mournful way anymore. I do it in a celebratory way.
I think that's really beautiful, thinking of it as I think it's more active to sort of celebrate and thank for the things that we have now, and sort of show, you know, the violence doesn't need to happen. That's something that we can be aware of at going into the holiday, but also just sort of stopping is a different way to do it. And I don't know if I totally would do that myself. I think it's beautiful to thank for your family and for having this food in front of you. And I know we sit there before we eat and we say, this food is incredible, and that we're here right now is just perfect and present in this moment, and how lucky we are.
and that we should do and be every time that we come together. And every time we come together, whether it's someone that made a transition or Earth Day party, whatever it is, that is Thanksgiving. Every day I wake up with Thanksgiving in my heart, so I don't get into the Christmas, all the consumerism and all of that. I'm just so grateful.
It's another day in Rashida's life.
Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, it's another day in Rashida's life, Thanksgiving. It's kind of like...
Yes. And my family, they would say, well, it's just because a lot of my family are Muslim, and they would just say, well, we're just coming together because we have a day off. But the energy that it was conceived in and how it came about to be a so-called holiday is what I always stayed away from.
Absolutely.
And they honored that. They didn't feel insulted that I didn't come to the gatherings or whatever. And then everybody, you know, because we come together. I have a very large family. We come together a lot. So we come together and we roll through this journey together in thanks and gratitude.
That's
every
beautiful.
Day, especially with the challenges. We are grateful for all of that because it's really not what it looks like.
I like that Thanksgiving is just sort of a reminder that you should do this every day.
Yes.
I like that a lot, Rashida. And thank you so much for calling in and sharing. We're going to try to get one more call.
Okay. But, thank you. Thank you so much, Julian.
Thank you so much for your kind words. We appreciate it. 212-757-5555.
We're going to try to get one more call.
We got time.
We're flashing in here.
By the way, it is the 60th anniversary today of Rosa Parks refusing to give up her seat on a bus in Montgomery, Alabama. Celebrated as Rosa Parks Day today, 1955, December 1st.
That's awesome.
Right? Let's take one more call. I think we do have time to get to one more caller. 212-757-5555 is the number to call. As we've mentioned before, a very nice and symmetrical number. 212-757-5555.
Yeah, I'm getting a silent phone call from somebody. If you're hearing my voice, I'm sorry. I don't hear you on this side. We want to get one more call. Let's see if this is it coming through again. I think so. One second.
Really appreciate all the callers who have called in today and contributed. We've had so far 6 callers, about to take our 7th, and it's always great to hear from our audience at home. And, you know, we also have an email address, and you can contact us at positivemind@wbai.org.
Yeah, if you were getting silence, I couldn't hear anything through that phone. But, again, if you want to say anything, we'll be doing a program tomorrow, again, as usual, 1 to 2 p.m. Wednesday. And it looks like we got one more.
And again, that email is positivemind@wbai.org. We love to hear from you. We do hear from many of our listeners around the New York area and around the world who listen on the podcast, which, by the way, you can get for free on the iTunes store. Just search The Positive Mind.
Roger, how's it going? We got 1-2 minutes. Let's just hear what you want to say about what your perfect holiday would be like. Or was it just like that on Thursday? Was it perfect?
It was just a regular day, because now that I'm older, my mom kind of like asked me what would I like to have for Thanksgiving. I told her I don't really want no turkey. Just make something, you know, something else. She said, okay. So I had some steak, I made some salad.
Was it just you and mom?
Yes, I do.
Well, no, what was it just you and your mom?
Oh, no, my mom, my brother, and my father. That was it.
No, I like that, the immediate family.
Yeah.
And so you guys tried something different, and it went well?
Yeah, it went well. Because, you know, I told her, I said, you know, we always used to go to my uncle's house in the Bronx, and we always had turkey and the pies and the stuffing and all different cakes and stuff like that. And I said, you know, let's just have something just different. She said, all right.
I like it. Keep it simple, right?
Yeah,
keep it simple, and you're kind of there with the people that you just very, very much love, and you want to be there with them. And would you ever go to an Irish pub on 7th Avenue on Thanksgiving, or is that just insane?
I would. Well, I
love the idea.
I might try that next year just for a little bit.
I went to a pub on, there's one off of Madison Avenue.
Uh-huh.
I forgot the name, but when I used to work down there, me and my partner, we used to go after work. I played one or two beers, you know.
Was that Madison and Midtown?
Yes.
I think I know the one. Is that between 39th and 40th?
No, it's 548. I think it's called Pig.
Pig's Eye, Pig's something, Pig's Feet. Blind
it's
Pig.
It's actually across the street from Radio City Music Hall.
Oh, okay, very cool. Well, thank you for sharing your experience with us. We're going to actually have to get off. Thank you so much for everybody who called in. Thank you for listening to The Positive Mind.
All right. And thank you.
Thank you, Roger.
Thank you, Roger. Right. Thank you, John, Nana, Fran, Adam, David, Rashida, everyone who called in.
Seriously, and beautiful, beautiful having you on the air today.
Everyone
and
listening at home, everyone listening on the podcast, wherever you may be around the world.
Absolutely, and thank you to all those people that donated in our last fund drive. We didn't have to, and we sent your stuff. It's coming.
It's coming, in the mail.
I swear. It's in the mail, and we hope you enjoy. Make sure to email us at positivemind@wbai.org if you have any questions. Listen to us on podcast on iTunes Store, or go to thepositivemind.com for our archives, and thank you for listening. Tune in tomorrow, Wednesday, 1 p.m. Thank you.